Hello.
Talk Radio.
Interesting intro, and as always, since I can't figure out how to work this software, let me see if I'm even broadcasting. So I'm going to tune into my own radio station here. We're going to go to episodes, and we are going to click on Spooky Scary Ghost Stories for Idiots, because that is us, and I'm going to press play, and we're going to see if we are going live. Loading audio for smooth playback, .. Come on, baby, let me hear my own voice. I need to know that this is working. Hello. It is working. Welcome to Rolling Roots Radio. We're doing our Spooky Scary Ghost Stories for Idiots edition. And this is going to be fun. This is just going to be me telling ghost stories for the next. It looks like we have 20 minutes left. Because, again, I cannot figure out this website. I would have loved to do an hour, but I clicked 30 minutes, and I guess it was already starting. So, anyways, let's get spooky in here. So, this is my Rolling Roots spooky segment. Wait, that's an airplane. There's my spooky music. I was hearing, like, an airplane. I was like, wait, is this the sound? Okay, so this one is a story from Shirley Pugh. She said, a girl and her boyfriend are making out in the boyfriend's car. They had parked in the woods so no one would see them. When they were done, the boy got out to pee, and the girl waited for him in the safety of the car. After waiting about 5 minutes, the girl got out of the car to look for her boyfriend. Suddenly, she sees a man in the shadows. Scared, she gets back in the car to drive away when she hears a very faint squeak. Squeak. I'm not going to do that anymore. This continued a few seconds until the girl decided she had no choice but to drive off. She hit the gas as hard as possible but couldn't go anywhere because someone had tied a rope from the bumper of the car to a nearby tree. Well, this girl slams on the gas again and then hears a loud scream. She gets out of the car and realizes that her boyfriend is hanging from the tree. The squeaky noises were his shoes slightly scraping across the top of the car. That's a real story, people. That's a real story. Here's the thing. This urban myth was told by other people that were to have known of the story, and this version is told by Isabel Espaldon. Here's a story my mom told me and my friends when I was about 7 years old. You can imagine I was scared to death. A woman and her boyfriend were on their way home from somewhere not important one night, and suddenly his car ran out of gas. It was about 1 a.m, and they were completely alone in the middle of nowhere. The guy stepped out of the car, saying comfortingly to his girlfriend, "Don't worry, I'll be right back. I'm just gonna go out for some help. Lock the doors, though." This is verbatim, people. She locked the doors and sat restlessly, waiting for her boyfriend to come back. Suddenly, she sees a shadow fall across her lap. She looks up to see, not her boyfriend, but a strange, crazed-looking man. He is swinging something in his right hand. He sticks his face close to the window and slowly pulls up his right hand. In it is her boyfriend's decapitated head, twisted horribly in pain and shock. She shuts her eyes in horror and tries to make the image go away. When she opens her eyes, the man is still there, grinning psychotically. He slowly lifts his left hand and he's holding her boyfriend's keys to the car. All right, so that's a different version. So you just heard two urban myths from one urban myth from two different sides of it. You know, mama told one girl a certain way, kind of had a different ending. So that's kind of cool. I think that we need to find more of these urban myths. Legends. The laundry room killer. This one looks perfect. Here we go. Dear urban legends, my name is Todd and I currently reside in London, England, though I grew up in various regions of Canada, mainly the East Coast. I am fascinated by urban legends and the manner in which they seem to breed. The reason for this email is to inquire whether or not you have encountered the story I am about to reveal. I wish to know if it holds any roots or fact, or if it's simply a story passed on to frighten babysitters around the world. I got an ad that popped up during my urban myth, guys. That just totally killed the scariness. We're getting back into it. When I was about 14 and living in Ottawa, Canada, there was a story circulating about a babysitter who, after putting the children to bed, heard the washing machine or dryer turn on for a brief period and then turn off again. Now, the laundry room was situated on the ground floor of this split-level home. At first, she thought nothing of it until it turned on again, and then off again. She thought perhaps it was just a strange washing cycle and the parents had forgotten to turn it off. She proceeded down the stairs to investigate when suddenly the washer-dryer turned on again. She paused on the stairs until it turned off. She was now overcome with fear and decided to go wake the children upstairs, afterwards proceeding out the back patio door over to the neighbor's house. The neighbors thought she was overreacting, but they called the police anyway. The police arrived to investigate and discovered a man standing in the laundry room holding a knife. Apparently, he was waiting for the babysitters to investigate the noises. Okay, now that I've actually told the story, it seems absurd that it might be based in truth, but I would like to know if you've heard this before or variations of it. Thank you for your time. So if you are listening right now and you've actually heard of this happening, give us a call, 929-477-1498, and you will be able to give us your spin on the story. Also, if you just have a really cool urban legend to tell, 929-477-1498. Find another one, man. These are fun. I love Halloween. Speaking of, anybody going to any good Halloween parties tonight? Our friends, the Birds, are having their annual Halloween Rager, and I am going to be a safari guide riding Harambe this year. So I have one of those inflatable outfits that makes it look like you are riding someone. And I'm going to be that. My lady Nicole, she will be a banana. And I think it's the perfect couple combo. So let me know what you guys are going to do. Here we go. This one's called Listerine Mosquito Control. Wait, I don't think that's actually an urban legend. Or is it? I think that's just more of like a... I don't know what that would be considered. All right, these are all falling apart. We had some good ones, and now they're all falling apart. Let's check if we have any listeners. I don't think we do. We never do. We had a couple after live listeners, which I appreciate you checking out. So instead, we're going to turn this up. I'm going to tell you my own scary. I don't really like that. That's not too scary. How about this one? Tell you my own scary story about a kitten named Jingles. You guys probably can't handle this story. If you're driving, I recommend you just turn it off because Mr. Jingles is going to scare the living shit out of you. You're going to literally shit your pants, and it's not funny. It's real, people. It's real. So if you're driving, turn it off because ain't nobody want to clean their poo-poo out their pants when they're driving. So Mr. Jingles is a kitten. He was adopted about 2 days ago. This is a true freaking story. So Mr. Jingles comes home to his newly adopted family, and he starts to explore as kittens do. So Mr. Jingles checks the corners, checks the loft, he checks the downstairs basement. He makes his place in his new home. But then he's introduced to Mr. Bones. Actually, it's Miss Bones. I don't know why I called Miss Bones Mr. Bones. It's Miss Bones. Miss Bones was a dog. And nobody likes Miss Bones because Miss Bones is a punk. So Mr. Jingles tried to make friends, but Miss Bones gave Mr. Jingles a growl. And so later that night, Miss Bones went to bed. Mr. Jingles sleeps with one eye open, walks up to Miss Bones, cuts Miss Bones' throat with her claws. It's a bloody, disgusting scene. But Miss Bones is still breathing. It's kind of like a... And you know, the new kitty, Mr. Jingles, was getting off to this sound and starts purring, you know, making dough on the belly and stuff, just doing that thing, and then just walks away. Kills its owners, the people that adopted them, lovely couple, slit their throats too, drank their blood, and then Mr. Jingles walked out of the house, and he went back to the shelter. He took a shit on the shelter steps. And then he just went off into a forest. And everybody says that Mr. Jingles is still out there in that forest, ready to slit your throat. So the point of this story, the lesson of this story, is just don't go wandering off into the forest. Because Mr. Jingles lives in forest. And he'll slit your throat. All right. Guys, I'm going to go to a spooky music commercial break. We're going to go 8-bit video game spooky. I hope you're ready. Enjoy. All right. We're going to turn the 8-bit techno spook off. We're going to see. This one's called Mario Eggplant. I'm assuming that's going to sound like an 8-bit thing too. But I have a new story for you, and I want you to hear it before time runs out. This one's called Black Magic, and it's an excerpt. Why am I having such an issue speaking today? It's like I've all of a sudden formed this kind of Tourette's dyslexia, and I cannot read, I cannot speak. Maybe I need to get my blood checked. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, this is Black Magic, retold by S.E. Schlauser, and then narrated by yours truly, Jack Ryan. Here we go. We're going to start this music up. No, we're not going to do that. We cannot do that. Oh, we need better scary music. Here we go. 6.5 minutes. Let's do this. Mad Henry was a hermit who lived alone in a decrepit mansion at the edge of town. Rumors were rife about the wild-eyed man. Some folks said that he was a magician who called upon the powers of darkness to wreak havoc upon his neighbors. Others called him a mad doctor who could restore life to foul corpses from the local cemetery. No respectable citizen in town had anything to do with Mad Henry. Then one year, a new family moved to town with a lovely daughter, Rachel, who caught Mad Henry's eyes. He showered the maiden with gifts, goblets of pure gold, necklaces of pearl, and a pot of daisies that never dropped a single petal. Despite the gifts, Rachel fell in love with another, Jeffrey, a handsome young man just home from university. A week after meeting, they eloped, leaving behind a stunned Mad Henry. When Rachel and Jeffrey returned from the elopement, they threw a big ball and invited everyone in town. While Rachel was waltzing with her father, she heard a clap of thunder. Lightning flashed again and again. Suddenly, the double doors blew open and a breeze whirled in, bringing with it the smell of dead, decaying things. Mad Henry loomed in the doorway, pupils gleaming red with anger. He was followed by the grotesque figures of the dead, who came marching two by two into the room. Their eyes' sockets glowed with blue fire as they surrounded the room. Two of the corpses captured Jeffrey and threw him down at the feet of their lord. Red eyes gleaming, Mad Henry drew a silver-bladed knife and casually cut the bridge groom's throat from ear to ear. Rachel screamed and ran forward, pushing through the foul, stinking corpses of the dead, and flung herself upon her dying husband. "Kill us both," she cried desperately. But Mad Henry plucked the lass out of the pool of blood surrounding her dead husband and carried her out into the thundering night. Behind him, the army of the dead turned from the grisly scene and followed their master. The sounds of thunder and lightning faded away as the alchemist and his dead companions disappeared into the dark night. Jeffrey's father and Rachel's father gathered a small mob and followed the evil hermit, intent upon saving Rachel. When they searched Mad Henry's house, they found it completely empty, save for a light, which shone from a series of mysterious globes that bulbed near the ceiling of each room. Mad Henry had vanished. I don't know what happened right there. I don't know why I started talking weird, but I do apologize. Search parties scoured the countryside for days, but turned up nothing. Jeffrey was buried in the local cemetery, and the dance hall was torn down. No one in town spoke about what had happened, and no one dare imagine what had become of poor Rachel. A year to the day after the ball, a timid knock sounded upon the door of Rachel's parents' home. When her father opened it, he saw a gaunt, gray figure on the stoop. Her eyes were dull with exhaustion and pain. It was Rachel. Her tongue had been cut out so she couldn't speak, but when she produced a knife from her tattered garments, the knife with a silver blade that they had last seen in the hands of Mad Henry, the gleam of satisfaction in Rachel's eyes told them that the streaks of blood that coated the knife were those of Mad Henry. That night, Rachel died in her sleep with a peaceful smile upon her ravaged face. So there you go. Ooh, scary, Mad Henry. Okay, it wasn't that scary. That was kind of weak. It was like a lot of magic. You know, I have a hard time buying into the magic. Like, a man in the old days had magic. Like, I believe that he was an illusionist. like he's like, look at this, and like was just like tricking people and killing people. Like, I believe that happened. You know, we think that we're like so advanced, but people back in the days, they think just like us. They're still coming up with good ideas and ways to con people. So anyway, Matt Henry, you were crazy as hell. You were crazy as hell, Matt Henry. But it's been a fun show. We got 2 minutes and 12 seconds. We told a few ghost stories. We had a little fun. We played some stupid music. We're all a bunch of idiots. And before I leave, let me see if I have any listeners at all. Zero. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you listening, as always, talking to nobody. But good news is we will be uploading this after the show so you can listen to it later. And I know that's who I'm actually speaking to is my post-produced listening crew. What up, people? So we got minute 38 left. So what I'll do is put on some more some spooky music, whatever this is. And we're gonna roll out in style. We're gonna roll out with another scary story. It's called, what is it called? I have no idea what it's called. It's called The Face. The Face. This is a very long one. I don't know if we can get to it. How about this? There was a face, and the face was scary. We called it Butterface. It was the scariest face of all time. Dude, okay, so I know you guys can't hear, but there's a woman that is shouting how many seconds are left of my stream in my ear, and it's scaring the living crap out of me. It's the only scary thing that's happened this entire show, and she's about to probably do it again and again, and I won't be able to focus on whatever I'm supposed to be talking about right now, which is getting y'all to tomorrow. So, guys, thanks so much. Have a great Halloween. If I don't talk to you again, seriously, oh, here she comes. Hold on.
30 seconds.
No, she didn't do it. That's so stupid. I would think 30 would be a great time to tell somebody. But anyway, look really good in your costumes. Remember, you only get one day a year where you can dress up like somebody else and act like a complete asshole. So have fun with it. Until next time. This is Jack Ryan on Rolling Roots Radio. This is your Alpha Bravo 00.0031 podcast. You guys have been completely amazing.